Let's take our Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1 together. Mark chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And he," of course that's Jesus, "and he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land, and he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And the other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable." God will bless the reading of his word. Would you pray and ask God to give you understanding today? Speak to your heart. Father, we do thank you for a copy of the scripture and the record of our Savior, Father, as he walked and as he preached and as he taught. And we pray that there would be nothing more important upon our hearts today than the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may it make a difference, Lord, in our life, and maybe someone here, maybe make a difference in their eternity. We pray, oh God, that you'd have your way. Thank you for each that have come. But, Lord, we're not just trying to have warm bodies in a building. We want your Spirit to deal with each of our hearts, because we certainly need your help. And we'll thank you for that. For giving us the understanding we asked for it of this passage of Scripture and of the things of our lives. And we thank you for your help today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here the Bible says this multitude is gathered to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1, the Bible calls it a great multitude. And as he begins to teach this multitude and give them the Word of God, he divides this multitude into groups. And that's the first thing I want to say to you this morning. God's view of people is not based upon how we view people. He didn't characterize them based upon their wealth or their poverty. He did not look at this multitude of people and characterize them according to their political persuasion or their color of skin. He did not look at this great multitude of people and organize them of their educational accomplishments or their success in life. He didn't look at them as beautiful people or people that had other infirmities. He looked at them not based upon their personality, but he took this whole great multitude of people and he said, I see four kinds of people here. And I guess today, if we would think about it, that God's view of us is very different maybe than we would ever view anyone else. God views us based upon, according to this text, one thing. Now, no, ultimately, there are just two groups of people in the mind of God, right? There are people that are in his family and people that are not in his family. We understand that. That's two separate groups. And we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Only being born again do you get into that family. And God responds and deals with people in his family very differently than he deals with people outside of his family. So in a general sense, everyone is either saved or they're lost. They're either part of God's family or they're outside of God's family. But deeper than that, Jesus himself, when he looks at the great multitude, he says, I see four kinds of people here. I would say that would be the same thing today. I would say that would be the same thing in this congregation this morning, that God Almighty would view us as he would look at our hearts in four different ways. And so God's view of people is based upon, and that's what this text teaches us, Jesus' view of people is based upon solely on how their heart responds to the Word of God. You understand that? God, in other words, when God looks at all men, he makes a delineation in four different ways, and it's all based upon one thing. How is this person responding when they hear the words of God that I give them? In other words, God's view or opinion of you is determined by how you respond to his word. That is a big statement. You know, that's not the way the world looks at God. God, the world didn't look at God saying, well, what does God think about me? God thinks about you in accordance to how you respond to the word of God. And that's why the Bible is such an important thing. And that's why it is so important how you respond to the Bible. Not just the preaching of the Bible and the teaching of the Bible, but the reading of the Bible. And when you see the Bible, God will view you. He will view your life in the context of how your heart responds to his word. What a great multitude of people, Jesus. What do you think about them? He's not thinking about their problems of life. He's not looking at them that way. He's not looking up at them of even the depth of their sin. Right? We would look at people and say, here are the real bad sinners. And then here are the other sinners. And then here's my sin. The Lord Jesus, because they're all sinners, but he doesn't even characterize them according to their sins. He characterizes them according to how their heart responds to the Word of God. That's it. I think that's very important. Now, he says in verse 14, as he gives we've read the parable, we've read the teaching of Christ. Now, let's read the explanation of it. Mark chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 14, Jesus says, the sower soweth the word. So this seed is the seed of the word of God. Notice how many times, seven verses in a row, he mentions the word of God. Verse 14, the sower soweth the word. Look at verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the what? The word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the what? The word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the what? The word, immediately receive it with gladness. Verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for thee, there it is again, the word's sake, immediately they are offended. 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, verse 19, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the what? The word. And it becometh unfruitful. Verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word. So the whole context of this, he's showing the importance of the words that they are hearing. Because this word is the seed. And the word is what brings life. Without seed, there can be no life. The Bible tells us, and we've already preached upon it in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the word of God is that incorruptible seed that brings life into our lives. And it's the word of God. It's the power and the importance of the word of God. And God classifies us of how we relate to that book. Now look again, verse 14. Mark 4:14, the sower soweth the word. Who is the sower? Well, if you read Matthew's gospel, of course, you've got Matthew's account of this teaching of the parable of the sower. You've also got Luke's account, but in Matthew 13, 37, it says the sower is the Son of Man. And Jesus, that was a title that Jesus gave to himself while he was here. He's the Son of Man. So Jesus Christ is the one trying to take his word, the word of God, and sow it in your heart, trying to make a difference in your life. He is the sower. Now, I'll say this. Anyone can sow the seed of the word of God if they want to. We all have a part in that. And I would say this. If Jesus Christ took upon the job, his job was to sow the word. That's what he says about himself. What are you doing here, Lord? Well, I'm sowing the seed. And for 3.5 years, I'm going to sow the seed and throw the seed of the word of God out. Do you understand what Jesus could have done if he chose it? He could, look, if Jesus Christ wanted to, he could have ended all poverty in Israel. Do you understand that? I mean, the one that can go to the sea and the coins come out of the fish's mouth. I mean, he could have taken care of everyone's poverty, but he did not do that. I'll tell you what else he could have done. He could have gone everywhere and fed people. He could have done that everywhere. And that day was not like this day. They didn't have welfare. They didn't have food stamps to go down and get their food. You had really people that were hungry during that day. Jesus could have spent his time walking around the cities of Israel and breaking bread and breaking fish and feeding everybody. He could have done that. But that was not the job he chose to do. You know what else he could have done? He could have gone to every village, every place, and he could have healed everyone's infirmity. Could he not? You say, preacher, he did heal people. Yes, he did. He did feed people. Yes, he did. But that's not what he spent his time doing. Those were just instances the Bible brings up. Here's the feeding of the 4,000, feeding of the 5,000. But that was in response to the fact that he was there for the primary purpose to give them the word of God. And they stayed with him all those days. And he says, all right, now it's time to feed them physically because I've been feeding them spiritually. I've been giving them the word of God. He could have spent his time making everyone that was sick well. He made a lot of sick people well. But you know what he did not do? He did not go to every place and make everybody well. He could have done that. What are you going to do, Lord? I am the sower. I'm going to spend my time sowing the word of God, giving the word of God to people. And God the Father looked down from heaven and he spoke audibly and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He didn't say that when he fed the multitude. He didn't say that when he just healed people. He said that based upon what Christ had chosen to do, and that was to give the word of God to the multitude. The importance of sowing the word of God. I'd say if that was Jesus Christ's primary job, that should be the primary job of the church. That should be the primary job of the preacher. That should be primary job of mom and dad. We should sow the word of God, give out the word of God constantly because Christ spent his time doing that. I need to spend my time doing that. You know, if Jesus just went around doing miracles all the time, he could have brought a lot, manipulated a lot more people into his fold. But he didn't do that. You know, I'm afraid today, I'm afraid that even in Christianity, you know, the bottom line is, what do we need to do to get more people in? No, the bottom line is, what do we need to do to give the word of God to more people? Because we're going to make much of the Bible, because Jesus made much of the Bible. That's what people need to hear. Now this is fascinating to me. Jesus gives this parable, and he says, I'm giving the word of God, but there are four kinds of people. And a lot of these people, you know what happens? They're not going to take the word of God. They're not going to, the ground, the soil is not good. And he describes the soil as their hearts. I believe that's in verse 15. At the end of verse, he says, the word that was sown in their hearts. Do you see that? So the soil is the heart of man. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus knew the heart of man? Sure. Matter of fact, he's showing us that he knows their hearts because he's dividing them into four groups, right? He knows why the word of God is not taking effect in some of their lives. He looks down on their hearts and says, well, you know, we gave out a good message today, but these people aren't going to get help, and these people aren't, why are they going to get help, Lord? Well, because the heart's bad, their soil's bad. Now look, come here just a minute. Now, if you're a farmer, how many of you plant anything to raise it? Would you raise your hand? If you plant, all right, if you plant a tomato seed, if you plant anything. Now, let me ask you a question. If you already know that the soil is bad, you're going to put the seed there? Now, come on, think with me now. If you already know there's a problem in the soil, are you going to sow the seed in that soil? If you've got four kinds of seed soil out there and you know, hey, this is good ground over here, this is good soil over here, what are you going to do with your seed? What would you do? I'd put all my seed in the good ground, right? Jesus knew there was bad ground out there, but you know what he did? He sowed the seed to everybody anyway. He gave everyone an opportunity, even if he knew their hearts were uninterested, even if he knew their hearts weren't right. He threw out the seed everywhere. Now, we don't even know the heart of all men, do we? We can't tell if our witness or if the truth of the Word of God is going to make a difference in somebody's life. So if Christ even threw out the seed to hearts that he knew would not receive it, how much more is important for you and I to sow the Word of God everywhere? Give everybody the Word. You say, well, it's a waste of time. It's never a waste of time to give out the truth of the Word of God. The Bible says the sower soweth the word. This servant of God, this one that is doing his Father's will, never quit sowing the seed. But the difference, there was nothing wrong with the seed. The seed was powerful. The seed gave life. The seed would bring forth fruit. There's nothing wrong with the seed, but there's something wrong in the soil. The difference is in the soil. The same seed was put on four different types of ground. It has the same power. It has the same ability. But in this life, it made a difference. But in this life, it did nothing. The difference was the heart of man. So I need to ask myself, you need to ask yourself this morning, what kind of heart do I have? What kind of soil do I have in my life? Can God bring some wonderful fruit out of my life? Can God make a difference in my life? Or is my heart in such a bad way that the best God can give to me is never going to produce anything? You know what I still believe? I believe that there is power in the Word of God. The Word of God has not lost its power. The Word of God has not lost its ability to change a life and to make a life fruitful. The difference today is in the soil. What God did in hearts and lives of days past, He can do in your heart. He can do in your neighbor's heart. But the difference will not be what, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with the Bible. There's something wrong with me. You know, people try to blame God for things that aren't His fault. He gives everyone that chance to respond to the message. Let's get into the message this morning, though. These four types of soil, would you look at them with me, please? And I would say this, these four types, you say, well, what kind of soil am I? Well, what kind of ground am I? What kind of heart do I have? You know the truth about this message this morning is that whatever I say today about these four things, it can change in your life. It's not like, okay, my heart's good ground. Well, yeah, but it may not stay that way. You know, there may be someone here this morning, your heart is wayside ground. Your heart is stony ground. But you know the good thing about that, though, is it doesn't have to stay that way. In your life, the ground of your heart can change. And maybe here's someone that years ago, their heart was tender and received what God had for them. But later on in life, some things and circumstances occurred that brought up thorns in their life or stones in their life, and their hearts changed. Or maybe their life used to be filled with coldness and bitterness and despising of what is right and true. But through the plowing of the Word of God and through God working in their heart and through them giving into God, their stony ground heart and their thorny ground heart can change into good ground. What kind of ground is your heart this morning? How would Jesus today say, all right, this is their heart? You know, we would be very nervous this morning if Jesus came in And what if he divided all of us into those four groups? He says, all right, I'm going to put all the people with the wayside hearts in the choir. And I'm going to put everybody with the stony hearts on my left side. And I'm going to put everybody with the thorny hearts on this in the middle. And I'm going to put all the good ground people on the right side. I wonder how people would respond to that. Well, you're not going to classify me. Well, the truth is, the Lord of glory can classify you because he made you. And he knows all about you. He knows you more than you know yourself. What kind of heart do you have this morning? Let's look at how Jesus classifies these. Verse 15, would you look at it? Mark 4:15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. The first type of ground is the wayside ground, the ground by the wayside. I would call this the uninterested heart, the unconcerned heart, the cold heart, the heart that is just absolutely not interested in what the Bible has to say. They are the wayside hearers. They're like the spectators. They're on the side, you know. Somebody that's watching from the side is not somebody that's involved in the middle. You understand what I'm saying? The wayside, they're on the side just sort of looking at it, viewing it, but they're really not interested in it. If you look at the other texts that talk about the parable of the sower, when he talked about the wayside in Matthew, he said they understood not. They didn't even understand what was said. Now, I got to stop right there because the wayside here doesn't understand the Word of God. You say, well, preacher, there's a lot of people that don't understand the Word of God. You don't understand the Word of God with your head. You understand the Word of God with your heart. That's what Jesus said. He says we understand with our hearts, he said. We don't understand with our head. It's not an intellectual thing. You can be the smartest person, amen, in three counties and not understand the Word of God because it's a spiritual understanding. It's an understanding that comes from a heart that's open to God. They didn't understand the Word of God because their hearts were closed. They didn't want to hear it. They weren't interested in it. The wayside hearer, he did not understand it. Luke's gospel says that it was trodden down. They're standing by the wayside, the seed gets thrown, and they just step on it. They're not interested in it. It reminds me of the book of Hebrews. It says people that sin willfully after they receive the knowledge of the truth, and they're not really interested in Jesus, and they trod underfoot the Son of God afresh because they're not interested in what Christ did for them. They're not interested in having their sin taken away. And these people, they are totally uninterested in the Word of God. They don't understand it. They just walk on it. It's not very important to them. And immediately, it's gone. It has no effect on their life. And Satan comes and grabs it. Spurgeon said something like this. He said something like, what a wonder that the bread of God should become the devil's food. He talks about the fowls. They come grab the seed. They eat the seed. You know, here's the thing about God. God is not obligated to show any more truth than what you are interested in. You know, you guys, all of you look perfect this morning. You look like, you know, the picture of health, wealth, and Christianity and smiling, amen. Except a few of you can't get over last night. But, you know, there's somebody in here this morning that is totally uninterested. Well, preacher, if you'd scream a little louder. No, don't have anything to do with that. Well, if the Bible wasn't so boring, it didn't have anything to do with that. The uninterest comes from a heart that is not interested in God. I'm interested in my own play toys. I'm interested in my own life. I'm interested in my own things, but I'm not hungry and thirsty for what God has to say. How could we be more interested in anything else than what the God of heaven, Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that died for it, how could we possibly be interested in anything more than we would be interested in the Word of God? God wrote a book. How could I not be interested? How could they not be interested in Jesus Christ and what he was saying? And by the way, that's why he spoke in parable. You're in Mark chapter 4. Would you go up to verse 11? Verse 11, he says, and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. That at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. He said in another text, because they had hardened their hearts. They weren't interested in the Bible. So the Lord says, you know what? I'm not even going to preach them a message. I'm just going to tell stories. Now listen, to this morning we have the explanation of the parable, right? The multitude didn't even get the explanation. Now you think about that. If you came to church this morning and I got up and I talked about going out here and throwing out seed in the field and what happened in the ground, some of it grew and birds came and got it up and some of it produced fruit and there were thorns and stones and I ended the message and said, all right, let's stand and pray. I made no application to you. I gave no explanation to you. That's exactly what Jesus did with parables. He just told a story that had a much deeper meaning, but he didn't even tell them what the meaning was. You talk about a prince of preachers. You talk about the king of preachers. You talk about the most powerful speaker that ever lived upon the face of the earth. And when he got up, he gave just a little story. And didn't even tell him straight out. And the disciples said, what are you doing, Lord? We don't even understand what you're doing. We don't even understand what you're saying. He says, all right, come over here. I'll explain it to you, but I'm not going to explain it to them. Why aren't you going to explain it to them? Listen. Because I want to know if they're really interested. I want to know how interested they really are. Well, I tell you what, that really draws a line with people with God. You know, for most people, if God doesn't do something spectacular, amen, if the preacher don't get up and scream and holler and kick his legs, amen, and if we don't have the band up and if we don't have the lights and all, and really get your attention, a lot of people just aren't interested. And if the Lord came in, he said, let me tell you a story. He'd tell the story and he'd walk away. Well, he surely don't want to draw a crowd. He surely doesn't want to help people, does he? No, he wants to find out who is really interested in the Word of God. Because a lot of people are around him because they fed him, because he fed them. A lot of people are around him because they want to get so close to him because what they could get out of him. God forbid anybody that would try to get close to Jesus or the church or religion, but what they could get out of it. Instead of, Lord, I need your Word. I need the truth. And Jesus said, a lot of these people, they don't want the truth, so I'm just going to tell a story because they're uninterested. You know what the truth is? You can grow up in church and sit on a church pew every week and be totally uninterested in the things of God and the Word of God. And the question is, what kind of heart you have? You say, preacher, yeah, I'm sort of uninterested. Well, it's good that you would acknowledge that and go to God and say, Lord, help me to be more interested. Would that be a good prayer? Yeah. It'd be a good prayer to just go to God and say, God, you know, church is really boring to me. The Bible's really boring. God would appreciate your honesty. The Bible's boring to me. The things of God are boring to me. But God, would you please help my heart? Help me to be more interested in you. Help me to be hungry for what you have to say. I don't want to have a wayside life. You ever studied in the Bible the people that were on the wayside? Oh, what a message. Jesus wasn't mincing words when he talked about the wayside hearer. You know who in the Gospels were on the wayside? Beggars, blind beggars. The beggars were on the wayside begging. You know who else was on the wayside? You go all the way back to Genesis and you find Judah's his sin, his terrible problem he had. And he went to town one day and the harlot was on the wayside. The immoral life was on the wayside, just watching things. Not really interested in the things of God. Watching to see how things would turn out. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 13 talks about sitting by the wayside watching, and that's Eli. Eli, who had filled his life with himself. He had filled his life with his sons instead of filling his life with God.
And when Israel was in the battle, fat, lazy Eli was at home. And when they came back from the defeat, he was just sitting by the wayside watching. Not involved. The immoral are by the wayside watching. The uninterested on the wayside watching. The uninvolved are on the wayside watching. The beggar. The needy. God, get off the wayside and do like Genesis tells us, 24, 27. The servant said, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Lord, I don't want to be a spectator. I don't want to just watch what happens with the church, or watch what happens with the Bible, or watch what happens in our world. I don't want to be a spectator. I want to be in the middle of the way. I want to be in the way so you're working in my heart, because you're the way, you're the truth, you're the life. I don't want to be on the side. I want to be right in the middle. How many are just uninterested? They're just spectators. Jesus said, that ground, Satan grabs everything that's precious from that ground. Why is the devil having such a heyday in people's lives? For most, because they are uninterested in God. Second ground, would you look please, verse 15 again? Excuse me, verse 16. Mark 4:16, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. The word of God does not help these people on the stony ground either. The Bible tells us in verse 5, if you look up there, when Jesus was first talking about this stony ground, he said in verse 5, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. This is what I call the shallow heart. There's nothing deep there. There's nothing down. There's no root down in the ground. They're so shallow. Maybe I would even say a shallow heart. I'd say a fake heart. They look interested in a while, but as soon as anything gets a little difficult, it's over. It's gone. Well, I'm not interested in the Word. I'm only interested in the Word of God as long as things go well. That's the shallow life. That's the shallow heart. That's the one that has really no root. Jesus said, man, I've given out some good messages to these people, and some of them were happy for a while, but now where are they? They're gone. Because something, now look at into verse 17. Persecution ariseth for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended. You see that? Jesus said the word of God doesn't help these people that get easily offended. These people that get easily offended at my word or get easily offended at what God is doing in their life. In other words, God, I'll be with you as long as you do everything, you know, like I want it. That's like some people's marriages. Don't get quiet or I have to preach on marriage for half an hour. Amen. I'm all right with my marriage as long as she or he does exactly things I want him to do. You know, that is how it works. And I think some people have that opinion with God. God, sure, I'll go to church. I'll try to quit sinning. I'll try to be a good little boy. Amen. I'll try to say my prayers, read my Bible. As long as you do in my life the things that I want you to do in my life. But when the road of my life takes a turn that I don't appreciate, why pray? Why be committed? That is a heart that's shallow. There's no depth. Hey, guys, we ought to love the Word of God because it's the most true thing in the universe. No matter how my life turns out, no matter what persecution I get for believing it, no matter how my life may get hard because I stood with God and stood with His truth. Jesus said, these people are shallow. It looked like they were interested for a while, but, you know, maybe they made a false profession because it says they had no root in themselves. No root. In Revelation chapter 22, you know what the Bible says about that root? Oh, you need to get this. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Listen, listen. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. You know who the root is? The root is Jesus. You know what the truth is about some people? That they're just stony ground hearers. And really, Jesus Christ has never entered in down into their life. They have no root down there. They had a casual relationship with the Savior. Oh, I know about Jesus. I know about him. But he's never entered in down into them. He's never went down into their heart. They've never opened up their heart and said, get way down in here, Lord. It never went past a nursery rhyme or a Sunday school song. The fake, shallow hearer of the stony ground. Their heart was cold. They looked the part. They were around the things of God. But their heart is a stone. Their heart is a rock. You know, anybody can put the smile on for a little while and have nothing down on the inside. Jesus said these people didn't work out for them. The Word of God didn't help them because the root never got down in them. I never really got deep down in their heart. They had no depth. Their heart is a stone. Instead of the root of Jesus in some people's lives, there's the root of all evil or the root of bitterness. Have you opened up your heart and said, Lord, get down deep inside? The shallow hearer, the stony ground hearer. Luke 8:6 says about this stony ground, it said they had no moisture. Their heart was dry. A dry heart. Dear child of God, if your religion is so dry, there is a problem with the soil. If Jesus Christ does not warm your heart, if the Word of God does not bring some type of excitement in your soul, if the things of God never bring tears to your eyes, if you're so dry in your religion, there is a problem with the soil. It is stony ground. It is surface. That's why Paul and Silas can sing in prison. Why? Because their relationship with God and their relationship with the truth was a lot deeper than the bond. That's why God can give songs in the night to some. That's why we can say joy comes in the morning, because it's not a shallow thing. We have a root in us and we have moisture there. This stony ground outwardly seems alive, but inwardly is hard as a stone. And the end of this stony ground here is not seen immediately. It's seen when affliction comes or hardness comes or persecution comes. And then it comes out that the things of God never got any deeper than that. I'm finished this morning. I'm not going to finish this. I will finish it next week by the grace of God. But listen, look at me. This is our world today. Our Christianity today is about that deep. You understand? About that deep. And you know that because it takes about that much to knock somebody out of loving Jesus. It takes about that much to knock somebody out of church. It takes about that much to offend someone. It takes about that much to ruin a marriage. It takes about that much for a young person to turn their back on God. It doesn't take much. Why? No depth. No root. Jesus comes to the disciples and says, you're going to go away too? You know why all those people went away? No depth. Stony heart.
dry heart, hard heart. They took the word. They looked like they were interested, but it was so shallow.
Jesus said to the disciples, "You're going to go away too?" What did they say?
"To whom shall we go? Lord, we are all into this thing. We have totally committed to this thing. We don't have any other place to go. We have nothing else to do. You have gotten down into the depth of our souls. And no matter what happens, we don't have any other life. You're our life. You have the words of life."
What kind of heart do you have? Are you interested? If you're not, why don't you ask God to help you to be interested? Is your heart a little hard? Is it dry? Why don't you say, "God, would you get the stones out of my life?" You know the cure for that hard heart? Brokenness. You know why God puts some of us through our paces? To get the rocks out so the plow can go a little bit easier. You know what the job of preaching is? You know what God calls a preacher? 2 Corinthians 9. God calls a preacher an ox. He says, "The ox that plows should plow in hope." That's not a very good compliment for a preacher. Oh, look, yeah, look at our ox. When where no oxen are, the crib is what? Proverbs says. The crib is clean. You know how big an ox is? You know how much mess an ox makes? A lot more than a cow. I mean, I'm talking about an ox. Wow, no ox, no mess. Yeah, but you know what? No ox, no plowing. No ox, no field. No ox, no fruit. No ox, the rocks are still in the ground. What God tries to do, He tries to bring a plow in your life and drop it into the ground of your heart and throw out this stone and throw out this rock and throw out this other problem and throw out this offense that you've got to clear the ground, to make it clean and to make it loose, so when the seed drops, it'll actually make a difference in your heart. What kind of ground you got? What kind of ground? When Jesus Christ, what part of the building would He put you on? Uninterested? Shallow?